Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
One, and we are live, and thank you everyone for tuning in tonight to Rue Hawk Zara Marley's Woman's Warrior Table. It's a, you know, when you get a tongue tie there and you're like, right, what order am I going to say that in? Am I going to say Warrior Woman's Table or something? I had to like think about that for a second, but yeah, welcome everybody. So tonight we're going to go over a few sort of details that we'll be in deploying, I guess, over the next couple of weeks on Zara's show. And firstly, we wanted to introduce Nadia, who, as Zara has said to me many times, is her anchor, her go-to woman. She is the woman of all women who needed to have a seat at this table. So Zara, before the show, I had a quick chat with her and I said, well, how do you want me to introduce her? I literally have no idea. I've just met this wonderful woman. And you worded it so eloquently. So I'm just going to leave it to you. If you want to introduce Nadia and again, introduce to the, you know, the wonderful viewers why we are doing this show this evening. Thank you.
Hey, Jen, first of all, thank you so much for having me on. And just to let you know, I say it backwards all the time. Like in thought, women's warrior table sounds great. But when you try to say it, it's like,
I did word it the way around earlier and I went, no, that sounds absolutely wrong, like the warrior woman's table. So no, it's definitely better that way.
Yeah, so it's the woman's warrior table. It's where the women come in from the battlefield of life and we sit at the table to talk about how to protect our children, what's going on in the world, but without talking about how we got broken. We're not talking about our stories of abuse here. We have other places for that. This is where we talk about how we put ourselves back together, individually and together as a community, how we protect ourselves. This is a place where we can share healthy recipes. We're going to be sharing our children's books. We want to talk about all different kinds of therapies. We want to meet every single one of you. We're going to be doing a lot of call-ins, having a lot of special guests. We've got such an amazing idea of where this show can go. All about healing, all about togetherness, while maintaining individuality and respecting one another. Now, as far as Nadia goes, she is gonna be our anchor woman. So look, we're all kind of winging it. Like we're not professionals here. So she's gonna be learning how to bring up the calls, because we're gonna hopefully have a lot of people calling in, doing the comments. Also, she has so much to share. She's an amazing mother. She's been through the system. She knows what's going on. She has a lot of integrity, a big empathetic heart. She's a compassionate woman. And so she's our anchor. So Nadia, I always say her name wrong. Let me tell you why I don't say Nadia instead of Nadia, because I call her baby girl. I call her mommy. I call her everything but her name. So Nadia.
It's all right.
Forgive you. Hi, everybody. So, Nadia, you're over in Jamaica, aren't you, right now?
I'm actually in the UK. I'm in Manchester at the moment.
Oh, you're in Manchester. For some reason, it got lost in translation between me and Zara that you were in Jamaica, but she said a Jamaican lady, and I was like, oh, she must be over in Jamaica then. That's me using my,
I'm usually back and forth, but at the moment I'm in Manchester, UK.
Yeah. And how did you meet Zara?
Well, we got chatting on Facebook, ironically. So, yeah, I seen her fly, I seen her mission, and I seen what she was all about. So I contacted her, and ever since then, we've just chatted all the time and got to know each other, shared stories together, and become really good friends, haven't we?
She is a fantastic woman, a proper warrior, as we say here. So when you noticed what she was doing online, how long ago was that? Sorry, I'm not turning this into an interview. I'm just curious.
No, that's fine.
We want to know everything. We want to know everything, but I want to let everybody know that Nadia wasn't just having a conversation with me. She just like picked up the warrior shield and just started like going out into the world and reaching people. She had four or five different platforms wanting to interview me. She's the one who linked me up with Sean's show. Yeah. I didn't even know who you guys were. Nothing personal. I don't know who anybody is. I'm not plugged in at all. I'm mostly off grid. Other than posting sunset selfies on Facebook, I haven't done much with my life. So she's the one who just saw me and my message and my life and my experience, and she just went to work. And I think it was just a calling on her soul, because she's not necessarily a professional publicist, but she just took on the role and started helping me in so many ways. And it's actually because of Nadia that I even came on this show. So thank you, Nadia. Oh, that's why you're the anchor woman.
That's right.
And I wanted to ask you then, Zara, like, we say that we don't want to talk about anything, or we don't want to feed the sadists while we do this show, which obviously is on point. But what language would you say is appropriate to be able to tell, like, be able to tell your story without feeding the sadists and making them, you know, get excited by it? It's confusing me. Like, I say, I think, right, well, how would I talk about my disadvantages without making them sound like terrible, like they are?
Yeah, I understand your question very well. Well, there's all different kind of spaces for different things. There's a place for us to talk about what happened to us. This is not that place. We can come together and say, I'm broken. I'm a survivor of all different kinds of abuse, narcissistic abuse, sadistic abuse. We can use it in those terms. But this isn't where we talk about how they broke us down or what we endured. This is a place where we come together, whether you're a survivor of SRA or just a human being living under the sadistic system. We're here to talk about how to protect our children from the sadists, to talk about the subliminal programming and imaging that's in all the education, how we can create sadistic-free material. We want to talk about what's going on in the world with our food, how we're being poisoned, and how we can protect our children. So the conversation is more about not how we got broken or even that we're broken. We're starting. The first step is that we're pretty much all broken somewhere. Every single one of us has had some kind of experience of abuse, mental, emotional, physical. The system is abusive. So we want to start at that. We have all been broken. Where do we go from here? I have to fix myself. You have to fix yourself. And together we fix ourselves. There's so many people that have different ideas and therapeutic practices, and so much to contribute. Every single voice matters. Somebody, whoever you are, you have some experience to share about putting yourself back together, about healing, about regaining the strength. We are the warriors in the world. We are the women holding together our families, and we are coming off the battlefield of life, and we're coming to the table to talk about what we can do to better ourselves. It's a different kind of conversation.
And Nadia, did you want to tell the viewers perhaps how you're a survivor then? Maybe tell the viewers a little bit more about yourself, and yeah, not just obviously how you got to know Zara, but a bit more about you.
Well, luckily for me, I've not been through anything similar or anything like that to what Zara's been through and what a lot of people have been through in terms of abuse. But I do know a lot of women that have, a lot of people that have, and you don't realise how common it is until you just have certain conversations with people, because a lot of people obviously don't want to talk about it. They like to bury things, you know, but you get to realise that it's just normal. It's not normal, but it's common. And normal everyday people have gone through the same thing or know somebody very close to them that has. So I think conversations need to be had so things are not hidden so much, so people feel more comfortable about speaking to somebody about their experiences, you know?
Definitely agree with that. So yeah. Zara, in your opinion, where and how can the survivor start to put themselves back together?
Well, it just starts in everyday life. For me, the first and most important step was putting my mind back together. And you don't have to be a survivor of SRA. You could have had a narcissist in your life. You could have had a really abusive boss or a bad relationship or a manipulative sister. We've all been abused in one way or another. This isn't the table where you have to have survived SRA to come and visit the table. Everybody has something to bring to the table. We've all had some kind of abuse somewhere down the line. And the most important thing is to put your mind back together. Reprogram your mind. Pull out all that old negative programming and start with positive mantras in your own language that you understand. So once we start putting, our minds back together, everything kind of falls in place. That's my experience.
Yeah. And this is, honestly, we will be taking calls at some point in the near future, once we've got Ron to sort out the tech behind it, because I literally have no idea. I know it's like this Discord thing, God, I sound my age now. Like this disco tech thing.
We're all hoping to learn. I have to learn. Nadia has to learn. You have to learn. And we'll get there. You know, we're a work in progress. We're just getting started.
We are. This is totally off key from the stuff I usually do. Usually I interview people. I'm sort of prepped for, I've done research on the certain individual that I'm sat in front of, and I know what I'm doing. Whereas this is so different. It's so close to my heart because obviously I have suffered. And obviously I'm still learning as a mother about the dangers that are out there and available in this world. But I wanted to actually ask you something. I was discussing with a friend today, and she's got a young daughter, and I was discussing how, you know, I'm doing this show with yourselves, and I said, the thing is, it's just making me see the world in a really, really horrible light. Like, you can go down a rabbit hole with this and go, like, they are literally everywhere. Like, there's nowhere to avoid. There's all this. But is that not almost putting it in a too negative light, that you don't see the world positive anymore?
Well, I mean, that's the result of awakening and seeing what's going on. That's the normal result. But what we're doing here at the Women's Warriors Table is where we're coming in from the battlefield of life, where we're waking up and we're real and we're fighting for our children and for, you know, all of the things just to get through everyday life. And we're coming to this table to encourage, to inspire, to support one another, to lift one another up, to listen to one another's ideas, what different healings they've tried. There's so much out there. I can't even begin to tell you half of what's out there. I need everybody to join in. So this is the space where we realize now the world is messed up. We are under a sadistic system. We've all been hurt in one way or another. Where do we go from there? For how long do we swirl the toilet bowl and just feel hopeless? This is where we get our power back. Is that Princess Lulu?
No.
Yay. And this is a place that's safe for children. We're going to be sharing our children's books that are sadistic free, no subliminals, no harmful content for children, no perversion. This Women's Warriors Table is going to be child friendly, and it's just a wholesome place. That's we have to at some point we have to figure out, for how long are we just going to go round and around in the madness of it all, when are we going to put our stake in the ground and declare our innocence and come together, all women from all over the world, and figure out how we're going to protect our communities? How can we escape the system? How can we create material for our children that isn't going to hurt them?
Mm. I took your advice last week with Little Bear, the program for Ziggy, and I found I was watching it and really paying attention, and it is just an innocent program. And then I proceeded to tell my friend earlier with the daughter, I said, SpongeBob, don't ever watch that. Like, that is one of the worst programs you can show a child. And I never knew that. Yes. And then now I think about it, how truly disgusting that program is. It's shocking. And we need more of that info definitely spread on this table. Like, what's good to watch? What's to avoid? What's good to eat? Like, like you said, in some of the foods, it completely shocked me last week that contain all sorts of terrible
aborted fetus cells.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, it's amazing to think that goes on today. By the way, anyone watching, yes, if you've got any questions, I just put it in the side chat. If you want to chuck it in, I'm going to star them now and I'll ask them shortly. We're only on for another 40 minutes this evening because then Sean is on at 9 p.m. So, yeah, any questions, please chuck them in the side chat there. Zara and Nadia, like, how has your week been so far over the Christmas? Christmas, what is wrong with me? The Easter period. The same thing. It's like Christmas. No.
Well, I'm Jewish, so I have all different kinds of holidays. I have more than all of you put together, and Easter's not one of them. But happy Easter to everyone.
Easter isn't a sadistic ritual, is it, Casey?
I don't know anybody who lays eggs. I don't know what that has to do with, the philosophy that he has risen. Bunny rabbits laying eggs. And same with Christmas. You know, look. What it comes down to is people are in the rat race and they only get this time off, you know, from work, from school, to be with family. I don't think anybody cares what the holiday really is. You know, we all know that the Christmas tree is a pagan symbol. Jesus was born probably around the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, you know, in the fall. He wasn't born in the dead of the winter, but it was the only time that the Christians can get a holiday to celebrate. So many people just celebrate with their family. They don't care about a Easter bunny laying eggs. It's just ridiculous how they've tried to distort reality.
It's definitely a Hallmark moment, isn't it?
Like, oh, absolutely. Hallmark. They
rubbish.
They're making good. But Nadia, tell me, how's your week? I know you've been doing all kinds of stuff. Talk about it.
I've been painting. I've been decorating. You know, get my DIY on, you know, that kind of stuff. But apart from that, just family time. It's good to see everybody not at work and stuff, you know, people at home. But yeah, it's been good. The weather's not been bad, apart from the rain. But I live in Manchester, so we get a lot of rain.
I didn't know Manchester was that. Yeah, common for rainfall, but down the south, I think we've got a different climate down here because I'm in the south of the UK. So we've got, it's pretty nice all weekend. But no, so with Easter, do you find then that society, the elite, then have conditioned it that people so they get this time off to spend with their family before they go back to their job? Which I presume was today. Mm-hmm. Like, I always see it as it's almost a trap to get, they give you something, a little bit of something, so you work harder for the machine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one big trap. Right.
Well, the system is just designed to keep you unaware of who you really are, what your true powers are, what your purpose is. You're enslaved into a system where you're working just to pay bills. It's the rat race, and it's nothing new. But now the veil has been lifted, the mask has fallen, and people are really starting to realize you have to work now until your late 60s. And what are you going to do then when you retire? You have no energy left. You're sick and you're tired. The pharmaceutical industry makes most people sick. They make money off of keeping us sick. The education system is not to educate the children and to wake them up to their higher mind and help them understand some of the deep intricacies that are in this world. It's meant to dumb them down. The programming is just to keep you as stupid as possible. I mean, come on, I grew up on Tom and Jerry chasing each other, hitting each other in the head, you know, the Flintstones, all of this, you know, like just very limited and narrow-minded kind of entertainment. But if you think about, you know, what you have now with like the star seeds and the children coming through with these brilliant minds and their creativity, we should be teaching our children about telepathy and about higher sciences and alchemy and stuff like this, or whatever you want to teach them. But my point is the entire system is sadistic. Wherever you go, the legal system, it, how many times are we going to all say it? There's no justice there. So we have to, instead of feed the rat race, even though we're in it, we have to work, we got to pay our bills, we got to put food on the table. We have to start carving out a little space where we can create and recreate that pure sweetness, that innocence of the family, of the child, the purity and the curiosity, and start bringing back those wholesome activities for children. You know, board games, playing outside. And I'm not against screen time at all. There's, you know, Nadia, you're a mother of a child who really loves her screen time. How do you deal with the struggles and the, and trying to balance out, when can I give her the screen? It's such an easy way to...
What is the right amount of time to, you know, for your daughter to spend watching the screen?
There isn't a right amount.
We all know as parents, it's difficult, right? You go... like you'd love to spend all day outside with them, but you've got stuff you've got to do around the house. You've got, you know, chores or jobs or whatever. And you just think, right, for that moment of peace and quiet, I'm going to chuck that screen on. And I mean, What is the correct amount of time, would you say?
There is. I mean, I think it depends on their age as well. So when Lulu was smaller, she did watch Coco Melon quite a lot. I'm sure Ziggy knows about Coco Melon. No?
Coco Melon, I love Coco Melon. So that is probably sadistic, that one.
I don't know. I didn't see anything, you know, untoward, but you never know. Probably hidden somewhere. But, yeah, I mean, she'd watch that. She loved that. And then as she's got older, you know, it's gone into other content creators and stuff on YouTube. Now, I think that's where you have to really be careful too, because there's a lot of stuff, if you're not watching it, that they can slip in to a child's program, and there's no vetting at all on YouTube.
How old is your daughter now?
Yeah, she's 8 now.
She's 8.
So she's progressed from the stuff that I wanted to watch, you know, to the stuff she wants.
I mean, how do you monitor, I guess, like what she's watching on the screen? Do you have to check in regularly? Do you have like
check in? Check in.
And sometimes you get that internet block.
Yeah, put blockers on her phone. Well, she had a phone temporarily, but now she's got a tablet. So a brother makes sure that, because I'm rubbish with the computer, but a brother will make sure that, you know, the child locks are on it and stuff like that. So she'll get a couple of hours in the evening if it's a school day. Longer, more than she should be, I'm not going to lie, during the, you know, weekends sometimes. But I think since COVID, she prefers to stay indoors anyway. Since lockdown, she's always wants to stay indoors. So if I say, come on, it's a nice day, let's go outside, she'll be like, oh, in a bit, mummy. And then you'll find her back on the iPad, you know. So it can get very addictive, and it is up to you as a parent to say, right, that's enough now. We're going outside in nature, we're going to take some fresh air, you know. But if you let them, they will, they'll stay on it all day, especially if you're busy or distracted. She's not going to say, oh, mummy, I've been on it too long, you know. She's never going to admit that.
No.
But just to say, Nadia is always taking her daughter outside. Always. You're all the time. Come on, let's go to the park. We're getting fresh air. You're really good at that.
Yeah, I have to boss up kicking and screaming sometimes. But, you know, she's happy once we're out there.
It is. And like Tanya said, boundaries around tech for sure. And I agree with that. It's just knowing what's right, because you could give your child the tablet or put the TV on and you say, right, I'm just doing 20 minutes an hour later, and you're still like, oh no.
Yeah.
Right, I've got to turn it off now. Let's go outside.
I'm an adult. And if I go into my phone, I can come out 4 hours later and be like, where did they go?
Yeah.
The time machine.
With time going so fast as well, it doesn't help.
We got advice from Emma Toms, who says, teach them how to cook. That is brilliant advice. When Ziggy is older, I will be able to teach him how
to At the right age. I think around 10 is a good age.
Yeah. Involving them in the kitchen is really good, especially even if it's just you start out with little things. Let's make cookies together. In fact, in the Little Bear program, they're always making cookies and pancakes, and, you know, Little Bear is helping, and he cracks the egg. And so the kids, if they can watch clean programming like Little Bear, and then as they get older, they're going to really want to go in the kitchen. And involving the kids in the kitchen and teaching them how to cook is such a wonderful skill, and it takes them away from the screen, because that's like the one place you really can't be using your screen and your phone is when you got your hands in the kitchen. It's great 100%. Advice.
And my most fondest memories growing up is cooking with my grandmother, hands down, is probably up there. That and playing outside and building dens in the trees. Like, we just, kids don't do that anymore. It's such a shame. Like, we had a, like, the only console, this is going to really show my age now. The only console we had was like a Sega Mega Drive.
Yeah.
I'm not as old as Atari, guys, but yeah, it was a Sega Mega Drive. And so we weren't that interested in that. I mean, it was Sonic the Hedgehog. It was okay. But it wasn't like it is now. It's just all technology. It's everywhere. It's embedded, though. And you feel, I guess, as a parent, that if you deprive your child of it, that they're going to grow up different to their friends, because all their friends are doing it. It's a real, like, question mark hanging over technology, isn't there?
You have to find that balance, and it is not easy. Because if it's addictive for adults, how much more so is it for children?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we're all scared to let them outside now as well, because I don't let her play out without me. You know, I won't ever let her play outside. She's never played outside, apart from in the garden. You know?
We have to talk about not just the dangers inside technology, but the dangers out in the world. Like, you cannot let your children just go outside and run around like they used to. I grew up, nobody knew where anybody was. There were no cell phones. We were outside until the cowbell rang, the street lights went out, and it was, okay, time to go inside. We don't have that luxury anymore.
It was such a beautiful community growing up like that. Like you said, it was, got to be home before the street lights come on. And you knew, and there wasn't a risk. Or I do question, though, whether there was always a risk, but nobody spoke about it, and we now speak about it, so it's more, you know, there's more awareness, or whether it genuinely was safer back then.
I think it was definitely
safer back then, but of course, you know, human transportation and abuse of every kind was in our society. That's not something new.
Yeah.
But it, I don't know if it's the medication that people are given, the programming that people are given. The world has changed. It is not the world that I grew up in.
Certainly not.
Sorry, got a comment here that I wanted to pull up. It's from Kahana. Interesting, you had to put Bob Marley name in the title. Do you want to answer that, Zara, for Kahana?
I haven't seen the title. What, my father's name is in there?
Bob Marley's daughter, Zara Marley, and Jen and Nadia protecting kids from sadists.
Well, I think because I'm new and unknown, whether it's Sean or Ron, I think they're just introducing me for who I am. Like, you know, I don't see anything wrong with that.
Yes. So Kahana, she is Bob Marley's daughter. So that would be why his name's in the title. Sorry, Stewie. That's wrong.
Speaking of my father. No, let's talk about him though. My father was a man of integrity. And the stuff was going on in the music industry all the way back then. And he absolutely refused to have anything to do with the sadistic rituals in the music industry. And that's why they took him out. People think it had to do with politics. Politics is a very small piece of what was really going on. And that's why all the books that I'm writing and the things I'm doing and my Bless Up the People in Jamaica and Trenchtown projects are all honored to honor my father, to actually fulfill his legacy. My father's legacy was to give to the people. There's plenty of recorded evidence. He says, my life is for the people. So he's a very big motivating force behind why I've come out and I've started speaking and why I'm putting forth my effort, not just in telling my story, but in trying to educate people and bring awareness that, yeah, these things are going on and they're really, really bad. And you don't have to be a victim of SRA like I was. We're all victims. To some degree or level, we have all suffered in the system. And we have to start coming together and carving out a space where we can have clean programming for our children. And we can, you know, start putting ourselves back together and, you know, empowering one another, inspiring one another, encouraging and supporting one another. And that's what this place is about.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Yeah. Well, you've got a comment here from Concrete Forest 111. He says, thank you, Zara, for clarifying the truth. I'm disgusted hearing the lies in the propaganda. People latch onto fictional propaganda to keep people from realizing the truth about peacemakers. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, there was a false narrative scripted about my father. And he has 11 claimed children. Half of them are not his. He knew they weren't his. They know they're not his. But he chose to love them and raise them as his own anyway. My father, before he passed away, I was visiting him in Germany. And he said he had 17 children. And he didn't want any of them to be with a hidden identity, that we're all a piece of him. And that until we all come together, he can't truly be whole. But after he passed away, his wishes were not fulfilled. So the whole fake narrative that's going on, you don't need me to explain it. You can just use your eyes and see, what did my father sing about? What is the message? What did he do? How did he live his life? What should his legacy look like? Well, it's most certainly not having $600 million in the bank while the certain people in the family are living it up top shelf style for decades. And the people in Jamaica, you know, especially in Trenchtown, where that's the root of my father's music. That's the birth of his musical soul. You know, it all came out of Trenchtown. And so he was taking care of so many people, so many families, and his legacy was for the people. There's recorded videos of him saying his life is for the people. So I, as his biological daughter, who have his blood running through my veins, I've had my DNA proven since the time I was a child. It's never been disputed. I might not be listed in the fake narrative that's, you know, in the propaganda, but, you know, My family is more than welcome to give me a cease and desist. I've been public for years. They know about my books. They know about these podcasts. They can't, because in order for them to stop me, they would have to take me to court, and I can easily prove that I'm Bob's daughter. So they don't waste their time with that. And I don't want to get into some of the issues that are going on in my family, because like all families, we have complicated issues. And I think that my family needs a healing. But at this point, I am no longer interested or have the time and energy to really focus on them. They've made their choices. I'm not happy with their choices. And what can I do if I have to start from scratch now? I mean, I don't want to get into, like, you know, the bitterness of how I wrote so much music. I won Grammy after Grammy for my family, and I never collected a penny, and I couldn't have any credit because my identity was hidden. My story's been told on my own page. I told it in the beginning when I first came here. One of my brothers had $7 million of my money, and I said, hold on to it for me. I never took any money for any of the music I wrote. And I said, one day I'm going to need it, and I'll ask you for it. And that day came, and I asked for it, and I've been ignored. So that's not nice. So I got issues going on with my family, but that's not really why I'm here. But if people want to understand more about what is going on and, you know, are interested in my story, then you should know that I am Bob Marley's biological daughter. My paternity was proven. It was never disputed. If my family wants to take me to court and have it legally disputed, they can. I've been out public for years. They're aware of everything I'm doing. My Facebook and all my social media says Zara Marley, biological daughter of Bob Marley, a Grammy Award winning, because I won all these Grammys. I forget how I wrote it. Songwriter for my family, Grammy Award winning songwriter for my family. I take credit for my work now, and they've never once tried to stop me because they can't. So family dynamics aside, my father stood for helping the people. And when I see what's going on, I'm a little bit embarrassed. I'm kind of ashamed. And I feel like my father is really raising me up and calling me to come up out of my own very comfortable private life. Comfortable, like, not materialistically. I'm like really poor. I live with food insecurity. I do not have a financial abundance in my life, but I have a comfortable life. I have a private life. I feel my father calling me up out of that to let the world know what's going on, and I'm going to start making my own money. I made all this money for my family, hundreds of millions of dollars for them. If I can make it for them, I can make it for me. So now I'm going to be producing all of my own, I'm going to be producing all of my own music, all of my own books, all of my own stuff, and all of my own programs, and I'm going to we've already started developing the programs that are going to bless up the people in a way that it doesn't just give to them. It's not a charity organization. What we're trying to do is deal with the indigenous people that are on the, you know, they're not indigenous to Jamaica. They're originally from Africa. When I say indigenous people, I mean the grassroots people, the people that are living there. We want to give them back their self-worth. We want to give them the ability to sustain themselves a little bit better. We want to bless up the greenhouses, distribute livestock, help the children, help the elderly. We have been developing all kinds of programs. We just got to get the money for it. I had asked my family for the money for it. I got ignored. So now I have to make the money myself. Fine. No problem. If that's what I got to do, then that's what I'm doing. And so we have Bless Up. It was originally called Bless Up Trench Town, but then we realized that spells butt. Bless up. So we were trying to do the logo, and it was just like, no way. Like, there's just no way we can do that. So we changed to Bless Up My People. We're working on all the logos, and, you know, we're creating a whole merch shop just for Bless Up My People. We're going to have, like, the Trench Town edition, the 9 Mile edition, the Portland edition, wherever, you know. We're going to have all kinds of, like, bags and clothes and hats and backpacks and stuff like that. And all of the money that is made from this merchandise, it's going 100% to the people. I'm not taking anything from it. I'm working with people that are elders, people that knew my father, people that know who I am. and people that are, you know, a part of the community. So first, we want to bless up the communities that are already there on the ground. We want to implement a lot of these programs. We have a traveling music and arts program. We're going to be going around to the impoverished places, giving out musical instruments and lessons, giving out arts and crafts, blessing up the people, having fish fries and, you know, food trucks, Zara Marley's ghetto party every time, wherever we go. It's going to be a good time. We want to buy all the food from local farmers and give them out to the people to help take off some of the stress and bring some food and bring food security back to the people. So that's actually my passion. Like, that's not really what the Women's Warrior Table is about per se. That's like a whole nother thing. But what's driving me is the calling upon my father's soul.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, we've got a few more questions here. I'm going to try and fight through them. So we've got a question from Sky Spirit, and it's referring to obviously teachings of children. So how about using art and crafting as a tool of self-discovery and healing? Oh, that's, I think that's general, not just for children. I'm an artist, and I think doing art can heal. I 100% agree with that.
Oh, me too.
Sean's mother actually has taken up doing art classes because she finds it so therapeutic.
It's one of the most healing therapies. I love it. First of all, there's so many different ways that we put ourselves back together. And music, dance, art, all of these things, they open us up to our creative energy. They help us clean out the garbage and the darkness, helps you to express, you know, your pain, your sorrow, or to even just forget about your pain and sorrow and bring in something brilliant. I just absolutely love creative artistic therapy.
Definitely. It was one of Lulu's
favorite question here from Marie D. Sorry. It's my internet.
Oh, Nadia, what were you saying before we get to the next question? What were you saying?
No, I was just saying I homeschooled Lulawala for most of the life, and art was definitely a favorite topic. She loves art. Yeah.
That's another subject we want to get into is homeschooling. And Nadia has homeschooled her children. She has a lot of experience with that. And some of us just really cannot homeschool our children no matter how much you want to. You have to work. You have to, you know, get through the day, and you can't get through the day with a little child by your side demanding an education. So not everybody has the privilege to do it, but there's a lot of information to share about it.
Right, so next question for you ladies. Stupid question. Nothing's a stupid question, Marie. Honestly, on this table you can ask whatever you want. Can trauma be an illness and lots of things happened in life that leads to a nervous breakdown? Do you want to take that one, Nadia?
I think that trauma is one of the biggest culprits behind most illnesses.
100%.
Trauma breaks down your nervous system. It breaks down your immune system. It robs you of your energy, so you can't function normally. It creates neural pathways in your brain so that you can't function and process information normally. Trauma is the number one cause, in my opinion. Trauma and stress, that's what's killing us all.
And I think a lot of people, what they don't realize is with trauma, it doesn't hit you straight away. So it won't be, oh, I'm going through this huge traumatic event, I'm therefore going to feel like I'm going to a nervous breakdown. It's such a slow and silent creeper that, you know, it might hit you straight away by all means, but I found personally it hit me later down the line, and I couldn't understand why my mind didn't feel right at the time. And it was because the trauma where I buried it was coming, like, rebubbling to the surface.
Yeah, exactly. Trauma, especially if you had it when you were a child, you can't process it. So it gets shoved back into the unconscious mind. And when those memories start to come up, you start to feel like something's not right, but you don't know. So you develop anxiety. You know, you develop that feeling of, you know, something's not right. And it's a beast that lives in the shadows of your soul, and you have to clean yourself out. And it's not easy. And there's a lot of ways to do it. And we all have to come together and share our experience of healing.
No. Have you got anything to add to that, Nadia, before the next question?
No, not really.
No, that's cool. No, honestly, directness is key. No, I appreciate that. Do you know what? I really, like, I've started to realise that I really enjoy it when people don't, you know, they don't know what to say or don't know what to add. Instead of just filling in the noise, they go, no, cool, move on, next. I love that. I appreciate that.
That's what this table is about. Come as you are. We're not trying to be all fancy and put on makeup and be. We are all women coming in from the battlefield of life. Come as you are. I don't care where you're from or what your education is. You know, we're all in this together.
Love that. Right, next question from Tracy Ray Latigan. Zara, can you please mention the veggie burgers that were tainted? Because I'm a vegan, so would like to be aware. Thanks.
Yeah, you know, it's so hard. First of all, I wasn't
saying the name. Maybe give clues to it so we don't get in any trouble.
Well, I was a vegan for 10 years and then for another 3 years. And I don't stick to a strictly vegan diet now, but it's so hard to find compassionate, ethically sourced nutrients and food. So when you turn to a veggie burger, you're thinking, ah, finally, I'm having something that's going to nourish my body. I'm not causing harm into the world. I'm not contributing to the horrific factory farming and all the, like, absolute, like, disgusting practices that are going on with our animals. And then you find out that the sadists, the sadistic elite, are intentionally putting in their sacrifice into the food. So I can't remember where the study was. There's been a couple studies. You can Google it. You can find stuff on, you know, all over social media with the actual studies. I'm not good at remembering things. Like, I've never been someone to be able to give it back to exactly where I found it. Got to do your own research. But they found human DNA in veggie burgers. They found it in all fast food restaurants. Well, not all. Most fast food restaurants. And there's studies out there. You can find out which products, I guess, that they had it in. But that just goes to show you they have absolutely no conscience, no boundaries, and they want to inject their sickness into everyone. It's not just in your food, honey. It's in your makeup. It's, you know, it's even the clothes that we wear. But this, you know, this is a $10 dress from one of the cheapest stores that you can find. I'm sure a 10-year-old had to assemble it somewhere. Our entire system is based off of taking from the innocent and the poor and keeping them poor and abusing them and then benefiting. You know, I get cheap clothing. Well, how did I get the cheap clothing? You know what I mean? Like, wherever you turn your eyes to in the system, you're going to see that it's broken and it's a sadistic system. And what could be more sadistic than putting human DNA into a veggie burger? It's, you have to make your own. That's my advice. And that's why we want to have women come together, share their recipes. There's so many amazing recipes of veggie burgers out there, or different kinds of food for vegans and different information about getting nutrients through food. These are really important topics. I mean, I've even heard that there's crushed bones, bleached bones, grind up in our flour. Like, it makes you want to buy a little flour mill. Makes you want to buy a flour mill. Bones can be sacrificed, by the way. Makes you want to buy a flour mill, get your wheat berries, and grind that shit up yourself. Like, how can I protect myself? And, you know, it's insane. You have to literally do everything from scratch, have your own garden. And not everybody can do that. That's why we need community gardens. We need rooftop gardens. Even though I'm a Jew and I made Aliyah to Israel, I spent 7 years living in a Palestinian village here in Jerusalem. And I had a 7-year kind of like a seedling, organic seedling program. I took the organic seeds and I planted them and I gave out the seedlings to people that didn't have land. They put them on containers on their rooftops. We had rooftop container gardens, everything you can imagine, lettuce, tomatoes, cucumbers, peppers, spinach, squash, zucchini, watermelons. So, you know, part of the programs that we're developing is to help people become more sustainable. And, you know, the whole food system is even if it's not human DNA, the chemicals, the preservatives, they're intentionally polluting our food.
Well, no, and it's honestly a huge rabbit hole to go down once you get started. I've looked at it and I'm like, it makes my head spin and makes me sweat looking at all this information. I mean, Nadia, how do you cope with your daughter, like preparing food for her?
Very hard. It's really hard. I was vegan as well during my pregnancy and when she was just born. So she's got vegan tendencies. So she won't eat any meat, she won't eat fish, chicken, anything like that. But then she also won't eat real food either. So she's stuck in between this kind of vegan junkie diet, and it's not good, to be fair. No. It's not really good. As a baby, she was great. Just breast milk, you know, fruits, avocados, you know, she was really good. But then, as she got up, she just got really fussy. So it is very, very hard. Really, really.
Well, Nadia, I have to boost up your self-esteem, because every time I talk to you, you're making her a shake with all kinds of amazing fruits.
You're
something good for her. We have to bless up your self-esteem. I think you're doing a great job. Yeah. You're always dragging her outside to the park, whether she likes it or not. You're always making sure that she does the best she could. And the junk food that she's talking about is pizza and fries. That's not the worst thing out there. There's much, much worse.
Definitely. You're doing, honestly, from what Zara said, a fabulous job. I think as a parent, you put so much pressure on yourself to be like this Stepford wife mother and like cook every meal from scratch and all that. It's unrealistic.
Well, it started off so great.
We need to grab food on the go. We have to whack a pizza in the oven or chips in the oven or whatever. It just happens. So don't ever feel like society's BS pressure into how you raise your child matters. Like, you're doing a fantastic job. Women need to be told that more. We are doing a fantastic job.
True. Well, Zara always reminds me. You do. Thank you.
She is honestly a fantastic
reminds me that I'm doing a fabulous job, because we all need to be reminded. We all need to be supported. We all need to be encouraged. And that's what this table is about. We're coming in from the battlefield of life. We are the warriors of our families and for our children and our communities. And we have to share our experiences. We all have something to contribute. We have to encourage one another. We have to say, keep going, girl. You can do it. Put yourself back together. And remember that we're still human. I mean, look, I know that artificial flavoring is... There's a patent for aborted fetus cells, stem cells, and they create most of the artificial flavors from it. And for years, I just was so pure with eating only pure things that I cooked, and I, you know, harvested myself, and I got sick. You know, I had some real health issues, and we all fall back into eating what's available. The problem is it's the system. So how do we change the system? You can't. We have to create our own new system where we share recipes to make. We make our own fruit roll-ups. So I know that there's no artificial flavoring. Lord only knows what they're putting in it. You know what I mean? So we have to share our recipes. We have to encourage one another. We're coming in battered and beaten. This isn't the table where people come in and just be all like, you know, I got my nails done or whatever. This is the place where we're coming tired, exhausted. What was your day like? How, you know, mad did your children drive you today? And still, how do we protect them?
Yeah, right. So I've had 10 days until tomorrow of pure Ziggy, because he hasn't gone. Obviously, it's been the school holidays and the childminder's gone on holiday. So I've had pure... like 10 days of Ziggy love, right? I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of a bit excited he's going into childcare tomorrow.
You need a break. Everybody has to, if you can't take care of yourself, then how can you possibly take care of a human being?
Me and Sean are both at our wit's end. Like, we love him so much. But he's, you know, it's just these few hours that you have during a day where they go to, and trust me, my childminder is absolutely amazing. I 100% trust that. But yeah, that it has felt, yeah, it's stressful, but it's a shame to say it because I love my child so much.
I'm not loving him. We're going to miss him greatly when he's gone, but, you know, it's a break, isn't it? You know
exactly.
Don't you sit over here like hasta la vista. But you know, I mean, but I'm very involved in my children's lives, and you know, even as adults, they live close. But it's like, yeah, get out of my house. You know, like, you'll come to that point where when they leave the nest, you know, sing hallelujah and you know, walk around.
I love that. Right, we're coming to the end of the show. Sean's going to be on in a few minutes. So there'll be someone else joining next week, Zara, won't there? And you want to, like, talk about her. She sounds absolutely amazing.
Yeah, so her name is Sherry, and she is from New Zealand. She's half Maori. She comes from a lineage of warriors. She makes all kinds of medicines. She's living in Australia. She deals with all kinds of therapies. She's just a powerhouse. She speaks Maori fluently, and she's just a woman warrior for real. So, Jen, do you want to talk about real quick about how you're not going to be able to be on every week? Because Sherry is the replacement for when you're not on. She's going to be the co-host. But Nadia is our anchor, and she's going to learn how to pull up the questions and bring in the callers and do the doot-doot-doot and run the whole show.
Yeah, so obviously I will try to come on as much as I can, physically can, but having the wonderful young boy I do, maybe if it is obviously, next week will be a one-hour show, I presume. It might be a two-hour show and I can dip in for an hour or so. It all depends on childcare. And Zara has been so kind and just said, look, I understand. You have a toddler. You need, you know, your mum time in the evenings. I'm like, I know, but I can try as much as I can. Obviously, no pressure. And I like that. I'm a free spirit. But
and then you can just jump in. You can jump in every 10 minutes. You can jump in for 10 minutes with your hair all over the place and your lipstick smear on your face because Ziggy just gave you a whole bunch of love. You know, come on in. Welcome home to the Women's Warrior Table.
Definitely. And we will see you all next week. It will be Tuesday evening. Time to be confirmed, but similar sort of time. And yes, we will be welcoming the new guests and, of course, Nadia and Zara. And I will try pop in myself. And because I've got to teach Nadia the ropes, you see, that's me pulling all the questions up. So, yeah. And any questions, guys, please stick them in the comments below this chat. We can ask them next week. Also, follow everyone and support what Zara's doing, support what Nadia's doing. Links are in the description box below this video. And we will see you next week. So thank you and good night.
Also, just so you guys know, I do read all the comments. And I try to answer them.
I see your replies on them. I'm like,
I try so hard.
You do. So, yeah,
and I love you guys. You guys have healed a part of me. I have been put back together through your love, your validation, your support, your kind words. You guys have really shown me that, you know, community heals.
Definitely. So thank you, everyone. And we will see you soon. Take care. Bye. Good night.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.